Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, guys, we are live. Please work in Jesus' name. All right, we're live. Welcome, everybody. Join in the chat, and we're going to get started here in a minute. It always takes like 30 seconds to a minute to get loaded. The comments get loaded. The screen get loaded. So there we go. Now we start seeing people pop up. And even for it to go live, it takes like a minute, sometimes 2 minutes, because it's delayed just the way that streaming and all these platforms work. There's a little bit of a delay. So welcome to the broadcast. I see you, Julian, Daniel, and Stuck in Bricks. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Appreciate you guys being here. Tonight's going to be an amazing night. We're on part 6, part 7, 5, 3, 2, 1? I don't know. Somebody type in the chat of our Book of Hebrews verse by verse. I'm just going to say it here. These are my absolute favorite streams. These are my favorite teachings we've ever done verse by verse. I like the Book of Revelation a lot too, but these have been awesome. And it doesn't matter how many people watch. We're just going to keep doing them. Doesn't matter. Views, we don't care about the views. We don't care about the views. Souls over streams, right? So we're just going to keep going, keep pushing, doing what the Lord's telling us to do. I thought about that more today as like, all right, Lord, wean me off of worrying about views. God, deliver me from caring about how much the algorithm promotes these videos. Just go. We're just going for it. We're just doing what the Lord's telling us to do. We're creating legacy content that people are going to still listen to years from now. It's not clickbait. It's not one reaction to this. We're just pushing. We're going verse by verse. And it's been good. It's been really, really good. I'm enjoying doing these. Couple announcements. We're on episode 206, which is absolutely crazy. That's awesome. Tomorrow night, we have a powerful testimony. We have Steve King on, who, if you don't know who he is, he was Buddhist, I believe, slit his throat in a, he was on drugs. A demon basically told him to slice his throat, slit his throat, went to hell, and came back. And so he's going to be sharing his testimony tomorrow. It's very, very powerful. So you don't want to miss that tomorrow night on the podcast. That will be getting listed probably tonight or tomorrow morning. But that will be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So podcast, we're bringing on new guests, continuing to bring on new guests. And then tomorrow we'll be live at 2 o'clock. But very important, this Sunday, I will be preaching in North Georgia. This is March 16th, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. in North Georgia at the North Georgia Revival Christ Fellowship Church. I would love to see you there. It's going to be incredible. If you haven't seen about this revival, look up the North Georgia Revival. It's a legitimate revival happening. It's unbelievable. So you don't want to miss that. And then as always, we have our Thursday prayer calls at 1 p.m. All right, we're on part 6. Is that what you guys said? What did you guys say? Did anybody type in the chat what part we're on? What part is this? Is it part number 6? This is 6 of our Book of Hebrews. This is not our Bible in 90 days. Some of you get confused because you see the Bible on screen. We're actually teaching verse by verse. We have like a couple chapters left. I think Hebrews is 13 chapters. So we'll probably go all through chapter 11 tonight and then maybe half through 12, maybe all of 12. And then we'll do like a finale, which will be chapter 13, hopefully next week or the week after. So welcome everybody. Share the broadcast. Get these likes up. Get these viewers up so we can get started in our Book of Hebrews. Let's get deep into the Bible. I don't know. Someone said, okay, number six. All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's keep going here. We've been going verse by verse. We've done on the channel, on the playlist, Book of John, Book of Revelation, Book of Acts, Book of Romans, Book of Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Every verse we taught through, those are all on the channel. We've been doing this for years. Our eventual goal will be every single verse in the New Testament on live stream on YouTube. And of course, I'm saving these to hard drives and all that good stuff, all right? Book of Hebrews, important to note, this is written to Jewish Christians who are facing persecution. And the main persecution was, their temptation was to return to Judaism. They'd come out of that Jewish religious faith, that old covenant faith. And so the last like 10 chapters, we've been talking about the high priest and why Jesus is better than the old covenant, why the old covenant is nothing compared to the new covenant. We talked last week about why the old covenant was temporary and the new covenant is eternal. So it's all about new covenant, old covenant. But just remember, why are we harping on the same things? We're talking about things that were important to Jewish Christians. They're coming out of Judaism, and the Lord is just releasing revelation to them through the writer of Hebrews. We don't know who it is, but the writer of Hebrews is powerful. This chapter 11 that we're going into is often called the Hall of Faith, not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. It's highlighting all the stories of the faithful men and women of God throughout history who trusted God. And we're going to talk a lot about faith. This is going to help some of you that are struggling in your faith, that are struggling with where you're at with the Lord. This is all about those who trusted in God. Even if you can't see the outcome, faith says, I'm still going to trust the Lord. So this is going to help boost your faith if you are struggling to believe in the midst of your trials. Faith is trusting God even when we can't see it. Faith also leads us to obedience. Faith is not a passive thing. Like, I have faith. It's a one time. That's not a one time. It's not passive. It's an active verb. Faith is an active thing. It's not just a passive, oh, I'm just going to believe the Lord. No, I'm trusting in the Lord every single day. Faith is key to relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship with God without faith. You cannot please the Lord without faith. And God rewards those that have faith. God rewards those that put their trust in Him. So let's start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which says, faith shows, this is so powerful, the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So we cannot see things going on in the unseen realm. Here's what faith does. Faith gives us evidence of that which we cannot see. Evidence is tangible. Evidence is solid. And so this is what the reality is. Faith is giving us that tangible hope that there is something in the unseen realm. There is something to believe in that. Even though I can't, with my own eyes, see my salvation, I have faith to believe that I am saved. Even though I can't see my healing in the natural realm, I have faith, evidence, to believe that God is a God that heals. And the Greek word for faith is pistis, which means trust, confidence, and reliance on God. Faith is this. I have confidence that God is who He says He is, that God is going to do what He says He's going to do, that He's not a man that He should lie, that He's not going to let me down, that He's not going to fail me. This is reality. This is evidence. This is not wishful thinking. This is not, you know, maybe if, but this is NLT. Yeah, this is the NLT. Faith is, I'm trusting in the Lord. I have confidence in the Lord. It's not wishful thinking. It's deep assurance in what God has promised. If you have a promise for God, faith says, God, I know you're going to do this. God, I know you're going to follow through. This enables me to trust God, even though we can't see the outcome. Even though I can't see it, I have evidence. I believe. It's reality. It's real to me. That's what faith is. If your faith is not real, you don't have faith. So this is going to enable me to trust the Lord. Pray tonight, Lord, give me faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we live by believing, not by seeing. What do we walk by, guys? By faith, not by sight. I'm not living on what my natural eyes can see. I'm not living on what, you know, is going on around me. I'm living by faith. I'm walking by the unseen realm. And that's what faith does. It makes the unseen realm real. It's Lord, I'm going to trust you before it happens. If you're only trusting God after He does something good for you, you do not have faith. You do not have faith. If you only trust in God after He heals, if you only believe in God after you see the deliverance, after you see the miracle, all right, Lord, I'll believe if you show me. That's not faith. Faith is not see it to believe it. Faith is believe it so that you can see it. And a lot of us have counterfeit faith because we're waiting on the Lord to answer or to do the thing before we truly trust in Him. That is not what faith is. Faith is evidence. It proves what God says is true. Not based on emotions, not based on circumstances, based on, write this down, God's unchanging nature. That's what faith is. So ask yourself this question. Write this in your journal. If you're taking notes, which I hope you are, okay, I spent hours and hours and hours and hours preparing these. I'm giving my life to this, guys. Take notes. It's the Word of God. It's powerful. Good disciples take notes. Write this down in your notes. Ask yourself this question tonight. We're only on verse number one, so I don't know how far we're going to get. Am I living by faith or am I only trusting what I can see? Am I living on my emotions? Guys, I want to get weaned off of my emotions. I will be completely honest with you. I live by emotions way too much. Even with social media, because this is my life, teaching and preaching, I only travel like once a month, once every other month. That used to be all I did was travel and preaching in buildings. Now I'm online. I have to really say, okay, Lord, I'm walking by faith because I can't see the people that I'm impacting. Well, really, Lord's using me to impact. I can't see you guys. I'm reading the chat. I'm engaged with the chat because the chat is as close as I can get to being like, these are real people. And so I get emotional. I walk by emotions. I get discouraged. I'm like, well, are people even watching? Do people even care? God, is it even getting out there? Am I doing it right? Should I do it like this guy? Should I do it like this guy? And I have all these emotional, like the Lord's like, Isaiah, walk by faith. Did I tell you to do this? Isaiah, if I told you to do this, why are you so worried about this person and that person? Oh no, we lost YouTube. No, the devil is a liar. Hold on. Is YouTube still here? It says that we have no YouTube. Wait, no, it is still there. Hold on. Are we still live? Hold on, let me pull up my YouTube. Let's see. It says that YouTube has logged off. Hopefully not. Oh, hello, are you guys still there? Let's see. Are we still here on YouTube? You're still here? Okay, it says on Restream that we are not here anymore. You see me? Okay, let me see. Give me a second, guys. Let me just make sure that we're still live because it's showing that we're not live on YouTube. Are you good? We are. Okay. All right. We're still here. Praise the Lord. It says that we are not on YouTube on my chat bot, but it's okay. It'll refresh, and now it says we're back. So, still here. What is going on here? All right. We're still here. Anyways, we're going to keep going. We're still connected. So, faith is I'm going to believe God. I'm living by that. So, Lord, help us live by faith. All right. You guys are back. Help us live by faith, not by sight. I don't want to live on emotions anymore. It's exhausting living by emotions. Worry about, oh, one day I'm up, one day I'm down, one day I'm excited, one day I'm not. One day I'm, you know, oh yeah, I'm gaining subscribers, I'm getting views, whatever. That just gaining subscribers or views doesn't mean I'm in the will of God. I have to trust. The will of God is, am I obeying the voice of God? Am I weaned off the emotions? Ask the Lord to deliver you from emotional Christianity, emotionalism. Verse 2. All right, 10 minutes and we're in verse 1. Verse 2, through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. How did they earn it? Through their faith. This is why it's so important. The Old Testament believers were saved by faith just as we are today. In fact, what about before Jesus? What about before Jesus? How could people be saved? God counted them as righteous because of their faith. Faith pleases God. This is the foundation of your relationship with the Lord. Do I trust in God? It hurts God when you don't trust him. You're not confident that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. So these heroes of faith we're about to talk about, they trusted God long before Jesus came. Because when these heroes of faith were around, Jesus wasn't even there. So faith has always been, what am I trying to say? Faith has always been God's requirement. Even before Jesus, even before the New Testament, faith was a requirement by God all the way back to the old covenant. So you have to choose. How am I going to be remembered? Because we're going to read about people that because of their faith, they earned a good reputation. Are you going to be remembered as someone who lived by faith? Are you going to be remembered as, like, at your funeral? Are they going to say, this person, this guy was a man of faith. This girl was someone who lived by faith. When they didn't have this, they didn't have that. They couldn't pay their mortgage. They couldn't buy groceries. They couldn't do this. The doors were closed on them. When they lost a loved one, when they lost a family member, when this didn't work out, they live by faith. That's the type of person I want to be. None of the stuff I see in the natural matters because I have evidence, that's my faith, that God's going to do what God says he's going to do. Verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, look at this. This is so good tonight. And not me, the Bible. Just don't think I'm like, you're arrogant, so good. No. Dude, these verses are amazing. Come on. Somebody type something in the chat. Verse 3, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And this is why all the, you know, atheists are like, well, where did it come from? It didn't come from, what we see was formed by God's command, and it didn't come from something we can see. What does Genesis 1:1 says? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What does Psalms 33:6 say? The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. That's powerful. The Bible is like, God breathed the word and stars were born. If you want your mind blown, I posted a short about this the other day. Look up the galaxies. Look up the Hubble telescope, the universe. Your mind will be blown if you start seeing how big the galaxies in the universe are and the trillions and trillions and trillions. This is just declaring the majesty of God. Ignorant people, hear what I'm about to say. Ignorant people say there's no evidence of God. You are blind if you believe that, if you think that. Evidence of God? Have you been outside? If you've been outside, there's evidence of God. If you can look at your own hand, there's evidence of God. You're going to tell me there's no evidence? I heard a guy on a podcast say, there's no evidence of God. And the person's like, well, there's not concrete. Yes, there is concrete evidence. What do you mean? Romans 1, that God made his invisible attributes known through creation. So nobody has an excuse. Nobody has an excuse. What are you talking about? Look at the trees. Look at the galaxies. Look at the stars. That's why David said in Psalms, when he looked up at the stars, he said, who is man that God is mindful of us? That God thinks about us? What are we doing here? God, you think about me? There's trillions of stars and galaxies and planets, and I'm this little ant and 7 billion people on a small, one of the smallest planets in the universe. Like, think about how crazy that is. Think about how small your city is. Think about how small your house is. Think about how small where you live is. And you're in the a planet that's one of the smallest planets with 7 billion other people. And you look at the stars at night and go, God, you're thinking about me? Not just, it was like God created the earth. Not just the earth. God did not just create the earth. What? God created the galaxies. The universe was formed at God's command. We look at Genesis and go, God just made the earth. No, he didn't just make the earth. God made the heavens were created. The Lord merely spoke, Psalms 33:6. I'll say it again. The Lord merely spoke. I want to camp on this. I don't care. Maybe we'll go only through chapter 11 tonight. I'm not going to rush it, and then we'll finalize it. We got to do another stream anyways to finish. So I'm going to take my time here because we still, no matter what, have two more chapters, and we got how far we'll go. I don't know. I'm prepared to go far, but we'll see. I have to remember this. Why am I camped out on this whole God made the universe? Because you still think God, you still think your problems are so big for God. You still think that, oh my gosh, God, how are you going to heal my cancer? Oh Lord, how are you going to deliver me? God, how are you going to save my kid? My kid's on drugs. God, how are you going to do it? And the Lord's like, I merely breathed the word and all the stars were born. I merely spoke. It was like, God's like, I just barely spoke. Do you know the Bible says out of the breath of his nostrils, the Red Sea split? Think about that. Moses is like, Lord, what are we going to do? The Egyptians are after us. And God goes, God breathes. God sighs. And the Red Sea split open. God's like, that's what we're going to do. Like, this is so easy for God. Your hardest problem, I hope you're taking notes. Your hardest problem is easy for God. Jeanette said, you're freeing me tonight. Praise the Lord. Your hardest problem is easy for God. And so what is the text telling us? Creation itself is an act of faith. The universe spoken into existence by God. Everything visible came from the invisible. God created the world out of nothing. God doesn't have anything to work with in my situation. He didn't need anything to work with when he made the world. He didn't need anything. Well, God needs something to work with. No, he doesn't. Dude, when God saved me, he had nothing to work with. I was a self-proclaimed lame atheist. That was angry and bitter and everything you can think of bad. I've already shared my testimony a million times. I'll keep sharing it though. I don't care. And God had nothing to work with. And God raised me up to be a revivalist. How? Because this is how God does things. This is what the text is saying. God made everything out of nothing. So you don't need to be have all this going for you for God to use you. You don't need to have all this going for you for God to equip you. If God can take nothing and make something, then God can take your nothing. Well, I'm not good looking enough. I don't have a photographic memory like so-and-so. I'm not a good debater like so-and-so. Guess what? It does not matter what you have or who you have or what you are or who you are. God takes nothing and makes it into something. And this is what faith is. It's to help me believe in the power of God. I don't understand what's going on in my life. I don't understand what's going on. Why God isn't moving, which is the title of this video. Why God isn't moving? I'm going to tell you why. 15 minutes in, why God isn't moving? Because you're not living by faith. You're living by emotion. You're living by sight. Do you trust God's word even when you don't understand how things are going to happen? This is not part of the program. God does not say, I'll heal you if you understand what's going to happen. I'll save your kid if you understand what's going to happen. You don't need to understand. God, I have no clue how you're going to do what you said you're going to do. The night I got saved and God said, you're going to reach millions of people. I saw myself before crowds of countless people in stadiums. The night I was saved, I saw that. How are you going to do that? I think if God showed you what he has for you in your destiny, a lot of you would have cardiac arrest tonight. If God showed you what he truly has for you. God, how are you going to do it? That's not your job to worry about. And then whenever the online took off and we started reaching millions of people, we went, hit 100 million views, 200 million views, 300 million views. My mom's like, Isaiah, this is what God showed you. You thought the stadiums were physical. They were digital stadiums. I had no clue God was going to use short form videos and long form podcasts. None of this stuff. I didn't know what a podcast was. A pod who? What are you talking about podcast? I didn't know what that was when I got saved. I didn't even know if there was podcast in 2011. Was there? I definitely never heard the word podcast. But then here the Lord's like, I'm going to do this. Now we're in episode 206 of our Monday teachings. Over 200 of our other show. And the Lord's using this stuff. Well, I don't know. He just takes nothing. I'm a nothing. And the Lord uses it. And I got to trust the Lord. God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm just trusting you. I don't even know what I'm doing half the time, to be honest with you guys. I don't know what tomorrow brings. This is what we're seeing with the heroes of faith. I can't believe we're only on verse. What verse are we on? We're on verse 3. Doesn't matter. The heroes of faith, they had no clue. What about Noah? We're going to talk about Noah in a minute. He has no clue. God, I don't know how you're going to do this. Rain's going to come from where? The sky? Rain came from the ground. There was no such thing as water coming from the sky. And the Lord's like, water's coming from the sky. It's raining. It's raining. What? Raining? What's raining? Well, you know how the water comes from the ground? That's going to start falling out of the sky. And Noah's like, whatever you say, I have no clue. I'm just going to build. That's your calling. Just build. You don't know? You don't know what God's going to do. You don't understand. I don't either. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't understand half of it. I'm just doing it. When the Lord's like, read through the Bible 90 days, go live every day. I don't know. I don't know why. We're just doing it. We're growing. We're doing it. And do these live streams, whatever. I've spent too long doing it my own way, trying to figure out my own way and making videos my own way. Realizing like this is, yeah, it gets a lot of views and it makes good money with ad revenue and stuff. But I'm not proud of that. God didn't tell me to do that. Not every video I'm making, I'm like, the Lord told me to do this. Now, these Monday and Tuesday where I'm pouring out for hours, these are where I pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? But I jump on and make videos and reactions, and it's not just necessarily the Lord told me to do it. But the Lord's like, Isaiah, you got to follow my voice. You can't follow the algorithm. You got to follow my voice. Do you fully trust me? That's faith. That's faith. Verse 4. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us. How is Abel speaking to us tonight? By his example of faith. Let your life and the way you live speak to people. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 5 says this. When it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lambs from his flock, and the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. So Abel's faith made his worship acceptable to God. Why? Why? Because he gave God his best, not his leftovers. Cain's like, I'm going to give some of my crops to God. Some, just some. Abel said, what did the text say? Genesis 4, 3 through 5, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. He's like, I'm giving God the very best. That was the example of faith. That's what faith does. Faith said, I'm giving God the very best, not giving him leftovers, not giving him half-hearted. Faith and worship pleases God. So Cain's offering rejected because it wasn't given in faith. It wasn't given in faith. Abel's testimony is still speaking today because faithful worship has power through generations. Faithful worship has power through generations. But when you just give God leftovers, you're not going to be remembered. All right, if I'm cutting out on Facebook, go over to YouTube. Because Facebook, I don't know what to do about Facebook, guys. It has tons of issues, server issues. It is what it is. Just come over to YouTube. My Facebook's dead anyway, so it's all good. Just come to YouTube. This is what it is. Leftover faith or leftover Christians that give God leftovers will never be remembered. They'll never testify of the goodness of God. It's not true worship. But faithful worship says, I'm giving God the best of me. So write this in your journal, because we're gonna ask questions all night long. Questions are important. Jesus constantly asked questions. The disciples constantly asked questions. Jesus constantly questioned the disciples. What do you say? Who do you say that I'm? What do you think? Here's the question. Write this in your journal, in your notepad, in your Bible, on the side notes area. Am I giving God my best or just what's convenient? Cain, oh man, I feel convicted. I just feel like I got hit with some conviction right now. Like literally, I just felt that right in my chest as I said it. And I wrote these notes and I just felt that right in the Holy Ghost, right in my chest, right in the conviction. God, am I giving you my best or am I giving you just what's convenient? How am I living? Is it always convenient? It's convenient to go to church that day. It's convenient to preach on this day. Because I do this a lot too. I'm like, what's convenient? And I think one of the things the Daily Bible has gotten, one of the reasons why the Lord's had me do this, is it's removed the convenience. It's not convenient. The other day I had to pre-record multiple things because I was gone for a certain amount of days at certain times. And it was super late at night. I was dead tired. I did not feel good. And I had no choice. I'm like, I got to record. I got to read the Bible. I got to do these videos. I got to schedule them. Because Sundays I'm at church during my live. So I schedule Sundays. I've told you guys that before. It's not convenient. But you know what? God, I'm going to give you my best. And I'm not going to get on the live because I'm tired and don't feel good and be like, oh, sorry, guys. And I'm giving the best. Leaving it all. This is what my uncle used to always tell me before I got up and preached. Because I'd be traveling, waking up at 2 in the morning, going and preaching. I remember one time I preached like 8 times in LA. 5 different events, 8 times in like 4 days. It was unbelievable. Morning, night, this place, that place. Stayed at 4 or 5 different hotels. And every single time my uncle would say, leave it all out on the field. Don't give it half-hearted. You're not going to find any sermons of me giving it half-hearted. You're not going to find any sermons of me just relax, any of that. If I have no voice, I'm still going to keep shouting and yelling, being passionate. Got to give my best. Because I'm doing it for God. I'm doing this for God. It's not for you guys and you benefit, but I'm doing this for the Lord. This is my service unto Him to equip His body, to serve the body. Everything I do for the Lord, I got to give my best. I don't want to give my life. I don't want to give what's convenient like Cain did. I want to give my best like Abel did. That's what we're talking about here. Verse 5. We'll do verse 5 and 6 here. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. So now we're learning about what was it, these incredible men of God, the key was faith. If God's not moving in your life, faith. Leave it all out in the field. That means don't reserve, don't hold back, don't walk away with some left over. Just put it all out there. That's what leave it all out on the field means. Like, I'm just going to go as hard as I can for God. I'm leaving it. I'm nothing left over. I'm going as hard as I can. Okay, verse 5. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it's impossible. Look at this. Highlight this in your Bible. Hold on. Let me open the Bible here. Where's it at? Let's see. I'm going to highlight this. Just leave that highlighted there. All right. Look at what verse 6 says. For it is impossible. It's what? So you're telling me if I don't have this type of faith that I can't please God? That's exactly what we're saying tonight. It is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible. Anyone who wants to come to Him, look at this, must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So you have to believe two things. Two things you have to believe if you want to have faith or if you want to come to God. What are the two things I have to believe that God exists, and this is so interesting, I have to believe that God rewards those who sincerely seek Him with pure motives. I'm sincerely seeking the Lord. No hidden motives, no weirdness, no trying to trick God. I'm sincerely seeking the Lord. Is there sincerity of my heart? Lord, am I? And I'm asking myself as I'm preaching tonight, which you should ask yourself, am I sincere about my faith? Am I genuinely seeking the Lord? What does Genesis 5:24 say? Walking in close relationship with God, that one day he disappeared because God took him. Imagine that. Enoch never dies, walks with God, and God's like, Enoch, you're a man that pleases me. How would you like to go home with me today? Think about that. It's like that one friend you want to hang out with, you're like, hey, bro, you want to come over? You want to come hang out at my house? God's like, you know what, Enoch? You so please me that I'm going to take you home. You're never going to have to die. That's incredible. He was literally raptured. God just took him. Never died. God takes him directly to heaven. Directly to heaven. Why? Because faith pleases God. And this man had so much faith that God said, your faith is so powerful. Because of your faith, you're going to be taken up to heaven without dying. So faith involves believing in God's existence and trusting that He rewards those who seek Him. I don't need any more evidence. I believe you, Lord. And you know what? The Bible says you're more blessed if you believe without seeing the evidence. Some of us have seen the evidence. I've seen the evidence. There's no way you can tell me God isn't. There's no way you can convince me. I don't care if it's 100 hours of your best debate. You'll never convince me God isn't real. I've seen the evidence, but guess what? Some of you haven't seen the evidence. There are some of you in this chat tonight, you have not seen the evidence of God's existence. You have not seen the evidence of how real God is, and yet you still believe. And you know what the Bible says? Greater is your reward. Greater is your reward than those that have seen deliverances and miracles and healings and the dead raised and all of that. I've seen the dead raised. You can't talk me out of it. I was right there. I was holding the person. I know I've seen somebody die and come back to life. You can't, but some of you haven't seen that. And you're more blessed than me because you believe despite what you've seen. I'm still believing God. So God, I want to live a life that pleases you by walking in faith like Enoch walked in faith. That's some powerful faith to walk. That's some powerful faith. Verse 7. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things. Look at this. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. And by his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world and received righteousness that comes by faith. He received the righteousness. How does the righteousness come? And righteousness means right standing with God. Thankfully, we have Christ that makes us in right standing. In the Old Testament, they didn't have Christ to put them in right standing because Christ had not come yet. So how did you receive righteousness? Because you didn't have Christ, which we have now, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for Christ because that gives us righteousness. You're not right-ish, you're righteous. You're not like kind of in right standing. I'm in right standing with God. I used to be at war with him. Go watch my verse-by-verse book of Romans. I used to be at war with God. Now I'm in right standing because of Christ. But how did Noah get in right standing with God? He received righteousness that comes by faith. Genesis 6:14. God said, build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. This was the building blocks of what Noah's going to build. It had never rained before, but radical faith says, I'm going to build when something that's never happened before, God says is going to happen. There's stuff that God has said will happen in your life that has never happened before. Never happened before. And God's like, do you have radical faith to believe it? Faith requires not just, God, I believe it. What does it require? Write it in the chat. Obedience. Even when we don't understand, God still requires obedience. And Noah's faith, look at this. I love this. Noah's faith saved his family. So faith requires obedience. Even though I haven't seen it, even though I don't understand, I got to be obedient. I got to do something. I got to do something. I don't understand. I have no clue. Rain, water from the sky. What are you even talking about, God? Noah didn't understand anything God was telling him to do. He just said, I'm going to do it no matter what. And then what happened? His faith, because look what it says. It was by faith Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. So he built a large boat to do something. We're building for something to do something. And Noah's faith saved his family. So write this down. My faith impacts the people around me. My faith impacts the people around me. When you have kids, you'll start thinking about this. How is my faith going to impact my family? Now that I'm a Christian, praise the Lord, I have kids now and my faith is going to impact them. And it's not just going to impact them, it's going to impact their kids for generations to come. Like I'm putting all my stuff on hard drives, right? All my content is on hard drives and I'm backing it up on a Dropbox. I have like 20 terabytes. That's 20,000 gigabytes of video footage. And I have a bunch of stacks of hard drives. And I'm thinking about, and this year specifically, when I made the video about, you know, the new direction of the channel and I'm rethinking what I'm doing and I'm going to just go back to just the word and this and this and this, right? I was thinking in my head, I want to make content that my kids are going to want to post when I pass away. Like you look at Derek Prince, and I've talked to the people that run Derek Prince's ministry, and he has children and family that help host and help do, because Derek Prince's ministry is still going on. David Wilkerson has family that are still publishing his videos. David Wilkerson's is with the Lord, but his videos are still posted. So I'm thinking about, okay, if I'm making video, if I'm a preacher of the word, God's called me to do this, I want to make videos that my kids are proud to upload. If I'm making videos bashing other ministers, if I'm a quote-unquote heresy hunter is what I call them. I know they don't like being called that, but it's okay. If I'm a heresy hunter and all I make is videos about other people and condemn, you know, look what happened with T.D. Jakes and look what happened with, I don't know, whoever, the next guy and the next scandal, and that's the only videos I'm making, my kids aren't going to want to upload that when I pass away. Nobody's going to upload that. If I'm only making reaction videos, right? Drake made another diss track about so-and-so. It's like, if I'm a Christian content creator, how is that benefiting anybody? My kids aren't going to want to upload that. If I'm only making reaction videos, nobody's going to upload that. So making stuff that is going to save and help my family, that my family's going to want to upload when I pass away, that my kids are going to want to carry on that legacy. This is legacy type of faith that the Bible's talking about here. So start thinking about the future, not just the now. Noah thought about the future. What do we learn from Noah? His faith saved his family. Am I willing to obey God when it doesn't make sense? God, am I willing to obey you when what you're telling me to do makes no sense? That guy doesn't want to hear about you and you're telling me to go witness to him? That makes no sense. You're going to heal that guy he doesn't even believe? That makes no sense. I'm going to believe even if it doesn't make sense. Verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached, verse 9, the land God promised him. He lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Jacob and Isaac, who inherited the same promise. Verse 10, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So Abraham leaves his homeland, Ur of the Chaldeans, without knowing where God was taking him. That's Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. No clue where I'm going, but I'm going. Lived in tents and never fully inherited the land in his lifetime. In Abraham's life, he never fully inherited the land that God called him to inherit. That's why it says he lived in tents. It was just a temporary. Because his true focus, what was it? Not Canaan, which is the land God promised. It was heaven, an eternal city God had prepared. That was his true inheritance. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, leave your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. And God said to do this, and God didn't even show him where he was going. You told me to go there, God. You didn't tell me where I'm going. God's like, just go. Well, how am I going to know? You take a step, and I'll tell you what's the next step. This is, let me give you guys a little secret here to how faith works. And I can testify to this. I've walked in this for now, 15, 16 years, going on 16 years. I usually do not get the full word. I usually have no clue what's going to happen. God just says, do it. And I just take one step. And I have no clue what the next step is until he tells me to take the next step. Some of you are waiting for a download blueprint of the next 5-year plan, 10-year plan. There usually is not one. The disciples did not have a 5-year plan. They had a 1-day plan. Jesus is like, follow me. Where are we going? Follow me. Where are we going? Follow me. I don't know. I've sat down with ministers before, God bless them, and they're like, what's your 10-year plan, brother? I have no clue. I don't have a next week plan. I don't have a 3-day plan. I have a following God plan, and I'm just going to follow him wherever he tells me to go. And when I take one step, I'll just figure out the next step when God shows me. Why would you live that way, Isaiah? Because Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has what? Enough worries in itself. This is what Jesus told me to do. Don't worry about your 10-year plan. There's no 10-year plan in the Bible. What are you talking about? God's like, just go. I'll show you as you go. Because a 10-year plan oftentimes removes the element of faith. Am I freeing anybody? Let me know in the chat. It removes the element of faith. But faith says, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. Faith means stepping into the unknown. It's trusting God without all the details. I don't have all the details. I don't know. I'm just led by the Lord. I'm led by the Spirit. So Abraham lived as a foreigner, knowing God's promise extended beyond this temporary world. Faith puts your focus on eternity, not on temporary rewards. God, I'm trusting you. This is the application. I'm trusting you in the direction of my life. I'm trusting in you. I'm not waiting for certainty. Preach that, brother. Camp out there. I'm going to camp out on that like Abraham camped out in his tents. I'm not waiting for certainty before I obey. I'm going to obey God without certainty. We all want certainty in anything, relationships, family, life, finances. I don't want to know where, I don't want to be like, I hope I have money next week. But that's living by faith in that sense. It's uncertainty. It's uncertain. I'm just living, believing, trusting. It's this beautiful clinging on to God. It's why he told the disciples, don't take a walking stick. So you're telling me to go on this long journey, cast out demons, heal the sick, and you don't want me to take no money or a walking stick? But the Lord's like, what's a walking stick? It's something to lean on in my walk. And God's like, guess what? I don't want you to take a walking stick. I'm going to be your walking stick, Peter. I'm going to be the one, Matthew, that you lean on. So you're not going to lean on a walking stick. You're going to lean on me. And you're not going to rely on, I have 20 silver coins to get me through my missionary journey. Nope. People will bless you as you go. You're not going to have a hotel booked. You're just going to stay wherever you can stay. And that's that life of faith. You know, sometimes it's like, there was a lot of years. I'll just be honest with you guys, transparent. Maybe I didn't say it at the time. I'll say it now. It's not the case right now. Praise the Lord. But there was a lot of years I lived in financial uncertainty. A lot of years, okay, where I would like preach and travel in big crowds. Everyone probably thought I was rich and all this. And I had negative in my bank account. And I've told you guys stories before where people walked up, here's a check. The Lord told me to give you this. It was the exact amount of money I needed for my rent. It's like, praise the Lord. Had a family, all of that. Had borrowed money from in-laws at times, borrowed money from parents at times, getting by. You know what? It is what it is. But I'll say this, and I'm not living that way right now. Praise God. And I'm grateful. Okay, I'm not asking for that. Like, no one's praying like, Lord, give me financial struggles. I'll tell you what, though. I learned to lean on God. I remember times crying because my parents, and they're both in the chat, they taught me hard work and you provide and you this. And I was like, so frustrated. I would cry, Lord, how do I have no money in my account? I don't understand this. I can't get a job because I'm working so hard for you every day, Lord. I'm preaching, I'm traveling, I'm doing this. How am I negative, Lord, when I'm doing all of this for you? But there was this special leaning on God and this like closeness with God. And some of my faith grew more in those times than ever because I had to trust the Lord when I didn't have. I remember one pastor of a large, large mega church gave me my honorarium. I think I needed like $3,000, $2,000. I was like negative like $2,000 in my account. I live in California, y'all. It is not cheap out here. And the pastor gave me an honorarium. I'm like, it's going to be a good amount. So mega church. Hopefully he's not watching. Thousands of people. And I think for like 3 days, he gave me like $1,000, which is not good. Okay. If you're gone for an entire weekend and you're only working 4 weekends a month, and then you're preaching through the week at your own church that you're not taking a salary from, let's see. And you have rent and bills and all that. Your landlord doesn't care if you speak in tongues. They want their money. And I'm preaching 4 times. I'm going to need a little bit more than like $1,000 a week to survive. And I'm getting like $1,500. What? And I was in the back and he gave me the check and I was like, okay, well, cool. I'm going to go home and be negative $1,000 now instead of $2,000. Somebody, and pastor's like, yeah, somebody gave this to me. They wanted to give it to you. And I opened the check and a lady had sold property and given me a portion of what she sold. It was like $4,000 or $5,000 that this lady had given. The Lord told her, give that to Isaiah. And God provided. And I can name stories like that. I can name 50 stories like that, the faithfulness of God. This is living by faith. Like, I don't even know, but there's no certainty. I'm just going to obey. And I'm using a financial example, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, I don't need the certainty. And I'm a guy that likes certainty. So you have to let go of the certainty. Say, God, I'm uncertain, but I know you know what you're doing. Well, speaking of certainty, look at verse 11 and 12 says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. What? She's too old and she's barren. But because she believed that God was going to keep his promise, she was able to have a child because of her faith. It was by faith. And so a whole nation, verse 12, came from this one man who was as good as dead. Imagine they describe you. The Bible describes Abraham. He's so old. He's as good as dead. A nation with so many people, verse 12, that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. So this nation came from a guy that I'm not being rude. If the Bible says he was as good as dead. He's so old. Look at what it says here. He was as good as dead, but an entire nation came from this man because he had faith. He had faith. That's why Genesis 21 verse 1 says, the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he promised. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. God's like, I'm still going to do it. Even though you think, oh man, I could preach. This could take me 3 weeks, this chapter. Even though you think it's too far gone and I'm too old and it's not going to work, God's like, nope. Faith says, believe in God's promise, even when it seems impossible. Because Abraham's 100 years old, yet God said, I'm going to give you countless descendants. Well, couldn't you do that when I'm 20? God's like, nah, I'm going to wait till you're 100 because I'm going to make your situation so impossible, people can only give me credit for it. This is what you guys don't realize. Some of you, God is waiting until you've exhausted all your resources, until the situation's impossible. Then he's going to show up so that he can get maximum glory. Because if he does it now, you're going to take credit for it. That's why he told Gideon, there's too many in the army. 30,000, too many. 10,000, too many. I'm going to dwindle you down until there's so little amount, till there's 300 of you to where no one else can take credit for what I'm about to do. If 30,000 men go to battle, of course the men won the battle. If 300 men go to battle, the Lord gets the battle. God's timing is perfect. Perfect. Write that in your notebook. God's timing is perfect. So trusting God's timing. Are you trusting in God's timing or are you doubting because of all the delays you've been seeing? Like, my destiny's delayed. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's in God's perfect timing. I know my lips are so dry, guys. Don't look at them. It's too cold out. All right, stop staring at my lips even though I'm talking. Dry as some churches out here. I'm trusting in God's timing. Verse 13. Let's go 13 through 16. We're moving a little bit, even though we're 45 minutes in. All these people died. Look at this. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agree that they were foreigners and nomads here on this earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. And that is why God is not ashamed. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So they didn't even get to see the promise, yet faith trusts God's promise, even if the promise is not fulfilled in this lifetime. God, you might be on your deathbed. Think about this. You might be on your deathbed and still not see the promises fulfilled in this lifetime, but faith says, God, I'm believing you. Because I am a foreigner. That means this is not your true home. Your true home is in heaven. And God honors those that live for him. He's preparing an eternal home for you. Even though you don't believe, even though you don't think it's true, even though you don't understand, and you might not, and I know you don't want to hear this. And I know people don't want, thank you, Lucy said I'm cooking. Thank you. I think that's a good thing. Even though you don't want to hear what I'm about to say, there are some promises that might not even happen in your lifetime, but it doesn't mean God's not going to fulfill them. There are promises God made family members of mine that passed away. And they passed away, and we, me and cousins, stuff, got saved after. My grandmother passed away, who prayed for me tremendously. My dad's mom passed away, prayed for us. We'd go over there. She'd have sermons on, preaching on. And we all got saved and all this stuff, you know. God moved in certain ways after she passed away and things she had promised. And she still had grandkids and stuff after she passed away that have gotten saved. And that even goes for my grandpa. My grandpa passed away. Not all of us were saved on fire. There was some in our family that were still wandering that have gotten saved now. And God gave my grandfather a promise. Your grandkids will be saved. God gave my grandma a promise. Your grandkids will be saved. But they didn't see it in their lifetime. They still believe, though. Your prayers don't die with you. Just because you die doesn't mean your prayers die. God is still honoring the prayers my grandmother who's passed prayed. That's my dad's mom, not my mom's mom who's still alive, who's probably in the chat. And that my grandfather prayed, that's passed. God's still honoring those prayers. So even though you've passed, some of you will die believing. But I'm still on my deathbed, God, I still believe. Even though if you haven't done it, God, I still believe. Even if it's not fulfilled in this lifetime. I'm living for eternity, the home that you're preparing. Verse 17 through 19. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac. So even though God said, I'm going to create all these descendants, and then God says, oh, and sacrifice. Wait, you're going to create all these descendants, but now you're telling me to kill my son that you promised me? I have faith to believe that, God, you're going to do it. Even when my faith is tested, so much tested that he was willing to sacrifice his own son, that's trust in God completely, he still had faith. Why? Because he believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. He believed, God, even if I kill him, you could raise him from the dead. Which Isaac foreshadowed the sacrifice of Jesus, where God provided his own son for us. Imagine Abraham going like, God, you don't understand how I feel. God's like, oh yeah, because I'm going to sacrifice. The whole thing of Abraham sacrificed Isaac is a picture of God sacrificing Jesus, saying, you're going to see the pain that I'm going to go through to redeem all of mankind. So write this in your notebook. Am I trusting God even when he asks me to sacrifice something valuable? Am I still trusting God? Verse 20. Hold on, let me make sure that we're tracking here. Verse 20. Look at this. This is powerful here. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Jacob's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. Verse 22, it was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. Faith is not, write it down, just personal. Faith must be passed down to the next generation. I need to pass my faith down. This is generational. Again, this is the type of stuff you talk about and think about when you have kids. I got to pass my faith down the generational line. Why? Because Isaac, by faith, passed down a blessing. Jacob, by faith, passed down a blessing. Joseph, by faith, passed down a blessing. So Jacob blessed Joseph's sons, believing in God's future promise. Joseph foresaw the Exodus hundreds of years before it happened. Think about that. Joseph foresaw the Exodus, died knowing God was going to bring people out of Egypt. Am I passing, write this down. Am I passing my faith down to my kids? Am I passing my faith down to the next generation? Verse 23, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, that they were, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. So remember when Pharaoh had ordered all the baby boys to be killed, Exodus chapter 1, and Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, hid him to protect him. That's Exodus 2. Their faith was greater in God than their fear of Pharaoh. They believed God. Faith, write this down, overcomes fear. Moses' parents risked their life trusting in God. They could have get, if Pharaoh found out they were disobeying his decrees, they would have been killed. But faith says, I'm going to risk my life to obey God. I'm going to risk my life because faith recognizes there's a divine purpose in our children. They saw something special in Moses and said, my faith is going to risk my life for this. And God does what? Honors, what I've been saying this whole time, those that trust him. Those that trust him. Don't let fear stop you. I know you're afraid to do what God's told you to do by faith. Don't let fear stop you. Verse 24. It was by faith. Oh, I love this. That Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was far better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. So Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace, was raised as an Egyptian priest, but gave up power, wealth, and comfort to identify with the people of God. And even before Jesus came, Moses' faith was focused on this great reward that was coming. That's powerful. So faith will make hard choices. What was the hard choice Moses had to make here in the text? Giving up power and riches for the kingdom of God. But here's the thing, sin's temporary. And I'm going to choose eternal reward over fleeting pleasure. Faith focuses on the unseen reward. What was Moses doing? I'm not looking on the pleasure of now. I'm not looking on the satisfaction of now. I'm looking on the future eternal reward. So my choices I make by faith, in faith, because of faith, are not choices based on temporary comfort. They're choices based on eternal reward. So it might feel good right now to do this, but it's not worth losing eternal reward. So I'm choosing faith. Verse 27, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. So what are we getting at here? Everything these great men and women of God did was because of faith. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept on going because he kept his eye on that which was on the one who is invisible. Verse 28, it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost so the angel of the Lord would not kill her firstborn. Verse 29, it was by faith that the people of Israel went through the Red Sea as they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. Faith. Remember, Moses left Egypt twice. Once he fled after killing an Egyptian, Exodus 2. Later, he led the people out of Israel in the Exodus, Exodus 12. And this was all done. Everything, the Passover, Exodus chapter 12, the Red Sea crossing, Exodus chapter 14. These were all acts of faith, miraculous acts of faith. Miraculous acts of faith. This was God moving. So faith focuses on God, not fear. I'm not worried about fear. I'm leading with courage because I'm walking in faith. But again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. It requires action. What did Israel have to do? Apply the blood before they saw deliverance. It wasn't just, we're going to believe God to deliver us. We got to do something too. God says, apply the blood. I'm going to apply the blood to the doorpost. And that application, that faith act is going to bring about my deliverance. And God is going to fight for those that trust him because faith is what? Trusting God. So what is it saying here? God fought for them and drowned their Egyptians. Drowned their Egyptians because the people trusted that God's going to fight my battles. Do you trust that God's fighting your battles? Do you trust that God is leading you even when you don't see how to go forward in what you're doing? God, even when I don't know how to go forward, you're leading me. I understand that. Verse 30 through 31. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days. Because remember, 6 days they marched, nothing happened. On day 7, so I got to keep marching, even though I don't see it, even though I don't understand it. I got to keep marching. And it was after that, and the walls came crashing down. Verse 31, it was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. All faith seemed, and the marching of the walls is illogical. It's impossible, but faith is trusting God to do the impossible. Is trusting God to the impossible. Rahab's faith saved her family because after her family was spared because she helped save those men. And in Matthew 1, it says she was an ancestor of Jesus. She was in Jesus's lineage because of her faith. So faith is sometimes, write this down, unconventional. How did the walls of Jericho fall down? In an unconventional way. It was not a normal, rational way. It was unconventional. So sometimes we have to trust God to do things that aren't the norm. Well, usually if you grow your channel, Isaiah, you have to do this, but I got to trust God for the unconventional. Well, usually to bring down walls, you need a bulldozer, but they march around them. So God does the unconventional all the time. How does that apply to your life? What is the unconventional thing? This is why when people are like, God told me to do this, I try not to judge how people are, what they say about God, their ministries. I don't like getting on judging like, oh, that's not the way to do it. Oh, they're not doing deliverance right. Oh, they're not doing miracles right. Oh, that can't happen. I don't know. God's unconventional. He did tons of unconventional things in the Bible. Pharisees are the ones that try to put God in a test tube under a petri dish and examine him and figure him out. I have no clue. I don't want to talk bad about other ministers or preachers or miracles because I don't know. Maybe I'm talking bad about God and just because it's not the way I think it should happen, just because it's unconventional. Faith is unconventional. Faith is unconventional. It's not always going to be the way you think it is. Verse 32. Look at what he says. How much more do I need to say? And we're definitely only getting through chapter 11. It's okay. We'll go 12 and 13 on the next one. How much more do I need to say? This is what the writer says. Verse 32. It would take too long. This is powerful. Hold on. I didn't scroll down. I'm sorry. I got to stay with it here. Verse 32. It would take too long to recount the stories of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. These are prophetic judges that God used all throughout Scripture that did great and mighty exploits. These men saw supernatural victories because of their faith, because they relied on God's power. Not because they relied on their power, because they relied on God's power. Now, interestingly, hold on. How did Samson make the cut? Wait, Samson's in here? He's one of the great heroes of the faith. David's in here. Didn't David slip up with Bathsheba? Didn't Samson slip up marrying Delilah, who wasn't even who he's supposed to marry, and gave the secret up? Wait, this is what we'll see. Even heroes of faith often had flaws in them. Because many of these men had flaws, but guess what? God can use anyone. God doesn't need your permission. This goes back to, again, this person. We're all calling everybody out, right? This guy's not fit. And I've judged people before so many times. I've made rash judgments about God shouldn't be using that girl or that guy because they're not as good as this person. They're not living holy enough. And the Lord's like, who do you think you are to tell me who I can use? Look at the people God used in the Bible. Some of the stuff they did were shameless. I mean, David killed Bathsheba's husband, killed another man, and stole his wife. Got his wife pregnant and stole her. Yet still, David's one of the greatest men in the Bible. I mean, man, we are so self-righteous sometimes. We got to trust in the Lord. Verse 33. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouth of lions. They quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. This is what faith has done. This is what Daniel 6:22, God sent his angel to shut the mouth of lions. All these great things were done by one key word, faith. Someone said, if Samson made the list, there's hope for me. That's all I'm saying, brother. That's what I'm saying. So what shut the mouth of lions? Daniel's faith. What quenched the flames? What story is that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What escaped the sword? Elisha escaped the sword. Elijah escaped the sword. The Bible says they were delivered from death. Whose weakness turned to strength? Many of these heroes were unlikely leaders, but God gave them power and empowered them. So faith leads to supernatural deliverance. Faith isn't about ability or personal ability. It's about God empowering the weak. If you're weak, if you're unqualified, if you're uneducated, if you're the lowly of society, if you don't have it all together, if you're not the best spoken, if you're not the best looking, if you don't have your act together, join the club. Welcome. These are the people that God uses. These are the ones that you're facing an impossible battle. Join the club. You can be a hero of faith as well. You can be one of those that God uses. Join the club. That's all of us. Verse 35. Women received their loved ones back from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a life and a hope in a better life after the resurrection. So there was I'm not giving up even to the point of death. Because faith isn't just about the victories you get. It's also about the endurance in the midst of those victories. Faith is an endurance. Look what it says. Some were delivered. Others suffered. But both demonstrated faith. So sometimes God's going to allow you to suffer for the sake of faith. Sometimes you have to say, God, I'm willing to trust you, even though your answer is not what I expected, and even though you didn't deliver me. Because not everybody got delivered. Some people died at the hands of their captors. But they said, God, I'm going to continue to trust you. Sorry, my throat is so dry. God, I'm going to continue to have faith. Verse 36. Look at this. We're almost done. We're going to pray. Some were jeered at. Some's backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins and sheep's goats, destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. This is such a powerful verse, verse 38. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the grounds. These are the men of faith, persecuted, killed for their faith. Some say that Isaiah was sawed in half under King Manasseh. Many were forced to live in hiding, yet they never abandoned their faith. Because faith, write this down, you're going to need this when life gets hard. This is what we're learning. Faith does not guarantee an easy life. Many faithful believers suffered and suffer terribly. I am a post-tribulation believer. I believe the Bible teaches that we will go through the tribulation period. And I've had people tell me, how could God allow us to suffer like that? You obviously do not know biblical Christianity. If you're worried that God's going to allow you to suffer in the tribulation, God allowed many people to suffer. God is allowing people as I speak to suffer. In fact, there's people in Syria right now, so sad, being killed by the thousands. They're literally, Islamic extremists are going through villages, pulling out women and children and killing them in the streets. And there's videos all over the internet, people being genocided right now in Syria. It's happening as I speak. God has always allowed suffering, and God will continue to allow suffering. This is an issue people have. Many people suffered terribly. The world rejected them, but God honored them. Because faith is trusting in something greater, trusting in eternity. And that's what it's talking about here. These people were killed in brutal ways, but they trusted in the Lord and they had faith to believe. And the church grows through the martyr's blood. Martyrdom has always grown the church. So write this down. This will be one of the last questions I ask you. Are you willing to stay faithful to God, even if it means suffering for him? I might have to suffer. If we go through the tribulation, there will be suffering. I do think God's going to protect believers from his judgment and wrath in the tribulation, but millions, maybe even billions, depending when, will be murdered in the tribulation, Christians. And we have to trust in the Lord. Verse 39, last verse of tonight. So good. Verse 39. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. Think about that. They all received a good reputation, yet none of them received all that God had promised. They died in faith, trusting in God's future promises. But their faith wasn't wasted because God honored them, and their ultimate reward was not in this world or on this earth. Their ultimate reward was in eternity. So I'll go back to what I asked you in the very beginning. Am I living for temporary success? Am I living for the temporary realm? Or am I living for an eternal reward? Am I living by fear? Am I living by faith? Am I trusting in God completely, whether in victory or whether in suffering? Because I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, your faith is not in vain. Your faith is not wasted. God is working. God is moving, even when you don't see it. Even when you don't believe it, there's something happening right now in your life. Lord, I thank you tonight that you are supercharging our faith. I thank you, Lord, that tonight you're doing miracles. And God, I thank you that you're showing us how we need to live our Christian life. That no matter what happens, what struggle we go through, what hardship we go through, what trial we go through, that, Lord, you are releasing faith over us. God, I pray that you would remove the doubt and the unbelief. Come on, pray that right now. God, remove the doubt and remove the unbelief. And, Lord, give us faith to believe in the impossible. Give us faith to believe that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. God, what promises have you given people? Lord, you are going to accomplish those promises. That you are not a man that you should lie. God, help me to have faith to believe. When I don't want to believe, when I'm suffering, When I'm struggling, come on, ask the Lord to give you faith. God, give me faith to believe. Give me faith to stand in righteousness. Count me as righteous, God, because of my faith. And some of you, the Lord's going to give you faith to believe in your for salvation. Some of you don't truly believe you're saved, but God's going to give you faith because we're saved by faith. It's not by works. Think about that. In the new covenant, what saves us? We're saved by faith. That's that deep reliance on God. That's that deep trust in God. God, I trust you. God, I believe you. I'm turning to you, Lord. When everything seems like it's going wrong, when all my friends and family have turned their back on you, when nothing's working, God, I'm going to have faith to believe you. I'm going to have faith as evidence. It's evidence. I'm hanging on to the faith that you've called me to, the faith you've given me. I'm hanging on. I'm clinging to you, Christ. I'm clinging to your work and what you've done and who you've called me to be. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. God, tonight I pray you do what only you can do. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would anoint people in the chat tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd move in a powerful way. God, I pray that the word that you've given us tonight would not fall on dry ground, but it would produce fruit. It would be on good soil. God, help our unbelief. Help my unbelief. That's what the guy prayed. Remember in the New Testament? Remember in the Gospels? When Jesus was like, what do you mean if I could deliver your son? When he brought his demonized son to Jesus? God, help my unbelief. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm sorry, you're totally right. I missed verse 40. I totally skipped that. Hold on, let me give you guys verse 40. Thank you for someone typing that in chat. Verse 40. This is the most important thing. For God had something better in mind for us, so they would not reach perfection without us. For God had something better. I don't know how I skipped that. Let's not forget that tonight. God had something better in mind for us. God has something for you in mind. I know you don't see it. I know you might not believe it. I know you might be struggling to understand that what God has in mind, but God has something better in mind for you. And it's far greater. What you have thinking what the Lord's going to do, God says, I have something better in mind. Always, God always has something better in mind than you can understand or have. And Father, I thank you for that tonight. Anoint your people, God. Bless your people. Empower your people. Give us faith, tangible faith, to walk in what you've called us to walk in. Lord, I pray a fresh anointing. I pray a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. I pray, God, just a wind of your Spirit to touch people tonight. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit just to touch people tonight in the chat. Lord, that they will never be the same. But Lord, that they're going to walk in what you've called them to walk in and do what you've called them to do, despite all the struggles and hardships. Thank you, Lord. Help our unbelief, God. In Jesus' name, bless the chat. Amen. I hope you guys were blessed tonight. I'm going to give you guys links to partner with our ministry. All of our content is free on YouTube. We're live 9 times a week, which is crazy, but we are. We're live 9 times every single week now for 90 days. We're on our 90-day Bible challenge every day at 2 o'clock. If you haven't been watching those, please partner and watch those. I'm going to hang out with the chat for another 15 minutes, and then we're going into another stream for prayer and worship. We're going to be going to Jared and Candace's stream after this for prayer and worship. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just stay on YouTube. Even after the video ends, it'll take you there directly, automatically. But yes, praise the Lord. I want to hang out and talk to you guys for a bit in the chat. I will be this Sunday in Georgia. So if you're in Georgia at all, or in the surrounding areas, you should come to these services. This is a legitimate revival happening in Georgia. It's called the North Georgia Revival at Christ Fellowship Church, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. You don't want to miss it. I would love to see you there. So please come be a part of that this Sunday. Where do I find the address? How do I know what time to show up? IsaiahSaldivar.com/schedule. All right, so here's all the links to give. You can give one time. You can give monthly, which we do need monthly partners. We do appreciate all of you monthly partnering. You will get 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, all the future partner calls, which are every single week we meet up. Thursday at 1 p.m. every single week we pray together. So you'll get a link to that. It's the same link. It never changes. It doesn't matter what amount, $1, 50 cents. Some people give 50 cents a month. Some people give $100. Some people give $1. It doesn't matter. It's not about income. It's about outcome. We're trying to reach the world with the gospel. The time zone is Pacific. I'm in California. So yes, we'll be in 15 minutes going over to another stream for prayer and worship, but let me give you guys a chance to give. So there's all the links to give. Thank you all very much. Okay, let's talk a little bit, guys. Let's talk a little bit. I don't have any other dates right now besides the one Georgia in March. And I'm going to be, listen, when the 90 days is up, I have a camping trip planned this summer like we do every summer. And the summertime, I kind of lay back a little more, spend time with the wife and kids more and stuff like that. So summer, I'm posting less, but we are doing 3 months of live every day. I don't know the plan after that. We're going to keep obviously doing Monday and Tuesday. Tomorrow night, we have a live podcast at 6 o'clock with Steve King. It is going to be incredible testimony. Just trust me. You do not want to miss tomorrow night. You do not want to miss the tomorrow night. I have the entire book of Revelation on my channel already. Every verse. So go to my Revelation playlist. Your best friend on my channel, guys, is going to be my playlist tab. That is everything you can find, all categorized for you. You can also use the search feature where you can search the channel for stuff. It's all there, okay? Alyssa's doing better, thank you. Also, if you haven't got my book yet, please get my book. It helps support the ministry, and it's going to help you because it's equipping you to cast out demons. Everything you need to know about deliverance, there's the title, How to Cast Out Demons. You can get on Amazon now. I think it's like $13 on Amazon. All right. Thank you for doing these videos. You're welcome, Julie. Thank you for being here. All right, let's chat, guys. Let's chat. I know you guys want to see Carl. I got you. I got you. Hold on, hold on. There he is. There he is in all of his glory. Carl's here. Don't worry. Don't panic. Don't panic. Don't fear. The bird is here. All right. Yeah, verse by verse is your favorite. Thank you, Sally. I'm glad. It's been good. I love the verse by verse. I love the verse by verse. Thank you for being a 22-month member. That's incredible. Thank you so much for partnering. For 22 months, wow, that's awesome. Thank you. All right, come on, chat. Isaiah's a hardcore man. Praise the Lord. Is that good? I hope so. Can I get a hello to Helen Dillman? Hello, Helen Dillman. Hello. You are not unseen, Helen. I see you. And so does Carl, my bird. Isaiah's a real G, God-inspired dude. Thank you. Dude, I finally catch you live. Frank, thanks for being here. Come over to YouTube. It's way better. Facebook cuts out all the time now. Facebook, I don't know what it is. It deletes the videos after. It's just weird. So come over to YouTube. YouTube is where it's at. Maybe Facebook keeps censoring me because I keep saying Facebook is lame. I don't know. But yeah, my Facebook is just flagged again, like always. How did Carl come to be a thing? I put him on screen as a joke. I was like, if you don't like the video, I'm going to keep Carl. This bird's never going to get off the screen unless you like. And then so I was trying to make him be on screen to make people like the video. And then I would take him off if you like the video. But then people liked him, which it was the opposite. I thought people weren't going to like him. So then he just stayed. Everyone would say like, where's Carl? I don't even know how he got the name. But I was like, now everybody's like, where's Carl? He's just part of the stream. I don't know. Yeah, he just showed up, so. Who made you choose Carl the Pigeon? I don't know, he just showed up one day. Just one of those things, you know? Yeah, please make sure that you like the video. Like. Tap the screen. It's right there, just hit, it just takes 2 seconds. Just tap it, like. It's gonna help us out a lot, all right? Can you watch on an Apple Watch? Can you watch YouTube? Can you tap the screen on? I don't think you watch YouTube on Apple Watch, right? I know you can for sure watch it on a laptop. So if you're watching from your laptop, please. What's up, Junior? What's up, Chief? What's up, Big Chiefy? That's my dad, by the way, guys. Nick Saldivar. That is my father. You should make a bobblehead with Carl on the shoulder. That's funny. Yeah, so if you're watching on your TV too, you could also go on your phone, like hit the like button. That's going to help out a lot. If you're watching on a billboard while driving, you can also hit the like button. That's going to help out a lot. Carl is scriptural. Yeah, come on now. Great book. Thank you so much. What kind of webcam? It's not a webcam. It's a Sony. Well, I usually use a Sony FX3 on all my other setups, but this setup is I use Sony A7 S3s. So pretty much the same as FX3 video-wise, but it's a Sony A7 S3, and I'm using a 24mm G-Master Pro F1.8. Yeah. Oh, you can't watch on an Apple Watch? Okay. Okay. So yes, please like. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm so grateful to have all my family support. I'm watching on my microwave oven. Wow, that's cool. I'm so glad to have all my family support. It's just amazing. Having my parents in the stream all the time, in-laws in the stream all the time, grandparents in the stream, just sisters, brothers. It's just amazing. Or should I say brother? I have one brother, but yeah, it's cool. It is cool. It's so, so grateful. Carl's going to be in your mansion in heaven. That's funny. Do you like the nickname Isaiah Salad Bar? I don't care. That's all the heresy hunters call me. So you can call me it. I don't mind. I liked your book so much. I bought Don Dickerman's too. His book is so good. As you guys know, I was inspired by his book. I recommend his book like 10,000 times. And I'm like, I should probably write my own. And he wrote the foreword for mine, which was amazing. And he's just a great man of God. And yeah. I try to make my book very simple and practical and easy to follow and easy to teach and easy to understand. Like, yeah. So the goal was to make it as easy as possible without making it too long and too deep that you fall asleep. So it is shorter. Well, I mean, it's 200 pages, I think. But yeah. 200 pages is not very long. I think it's like 70 or 80,000 words. Am I signing books? I'm not doing like book signing stuff. Like we're out of a table because it just, I don't know, it just feels weird to me. No, not that it's bad. Anyone can do it. But to me, it's just weird. But I have been signing books when people like ask me a request, then I'll just sign. But yeah. Yeah. Love you, brother in Christ. You're doing great work. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Yeah, and in about 9 minutes, we'll be going to Jared and Candace's stream for worship and prayer. All right, how long have you guys been watching the broadcasts? How long have you been watching me on YouTube? How long have you been watching my lives? Type one, if it's a year, two, three, type a number. I want to know how long you guys have been watching. If you're new, just type new. But I'm just curious, like, where everyone's at. Are we really still live? Yes, we are, Sean. We're really live and my lips are really dry. The book was so concise. Thank you, Bobby. Someone said, please don't. It's so cringe. What's cringe? What's cringe? I'm curious. 2.5 years. Awesome. Oh, please don't. It's so cringe. Oh, the book table. Is that what you're talking about? Four years, 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, 3 years, 3.5, 3. A lot of threes. 5 years. Okay. 3 years. 1, 2, 2, 2, 3. Hey, let's go. Since January 2020. Since COVID. Okay. A few months. Nice. Half a year. 7 years. Okay. I see you seven in the chat. 2.5, 3, 3. 2022, 4, 5, 2 this summer. Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. Since the beginning, that's awesome. 5+ years, let's go, Mike and Steph. Appreciate you guys. Oh, book signing is cringe? Oh, okay. 3 years, let's go. And you know, it's so sad when I see people go, like they're in the chat for years and they just disappear one day. I understand, but I do love you guys. Legitimately, I have Christ's love for you guys. And yeah, you guys are my family. Been here since Bible streams, let's go. Since the AI video? Okay. I don't know when that was, but a while back. 3 years, 4 years. Man, that's so cool. I'm glad that you guys have been staying, you know? We've had our ups and downs. We used to average, like, I don't know if you guys remember during the pandemic, we were averaging like 3,000, 4,000 every stream. Those are the good, you know, the golden times, the golden era of online. But it's okay. We hit, you know, a couple thousand the other day. I think we hit like 5,000 or 6,000 live on the last Demon Slayer podcast, which was cool. We hit a couple thousand the other day when we had Jenny on. But yeah, it's definitely ups and downs on live streaming. Live streaming is kind of like the worst way to grow and the least recommended content. But to me, it's the best way to grow a community and it's my favorite type of content. So I enjoy watching live streams the most, which is why I like making this content. I'm telling you guys, doing a 2-hour live stream is so much easier to me than recording like an 8-minute video. Recording videos to me is just a struggle, but live streaming, I love it. I love being live. I love talking to you guys. There's no editing. There's no cuts. It is what it is. You say what you say. So, most people hate it because they're like, you can't edit it. You can't, you know, your notes aren't like one sentence at a time. Then you edit. You don't have a script, but to me, I love it. Since I came to Victor Irish Palmdale, that was a long time ago. Found me through John Mayer's. Awesome. Awesome, Frank. So yeah, I love live streams, personally. So it is a give and take. It's like, man, for like the podcast, right? If I upload the podcast, they'll reach so many more people and get five times the amount of views than if I go live. But I like being live and I like growing with the community. It just feels so much more personal. Yeah, there's a lot of Christian YouTubers in California, which is cool. I've had Bryce Crawford and Mapalo on the show as well. If you guys want to check out those, just search Bryce Crawford, Isaiah Saldivar, or Mapalo, Isaiah Saldivar. I've had them both on the podcast. My favorite online community resides here. Thank you, Amy. That's awesome. Interviewed John Ramirez. It brought you and you haven't left. Thank you, Mama of Two. Appreciate you. Live streams are my favorite. Yes. Yeah, and you get to know the person more, right? They're like a real person. There's so many people that you just have this idea of them from a distance, but you don't get to really hear them talk. And it's just a cool way to engage. It's a cool way to realize that, like, oh, I'm a human. Since Deliverance Conference at GVBC, that's awesome, 10 man. Live is better. I know everyone in the chat saying that because we're live, you know? You got to. There's a lot of content, I'll be honest. Like, I wouldn't even watch it if it wasn't live. And once it's, if I don't catch it live, I just don't end up watching it. But if I catch it live, it's just, I don't know, just so much better. And also, it's like, I'm not trying to say anything bad about anybody. It's my own personal thing. Like, one of my big pet peeves is when people go live and they don't read the comments or they don't engage with the chat ever. I'm like, how are you going to be live and you never even read the chat? Why are you live then? Right? Is it just me or does that irritate you guys as well? Now, there's a lot of times where I'm not able to read. Like, if I'm reading through the Bible, I can't really read the comments the whole time because it distracts me. As you see, I'm always looking over, getting distracted. Or if I'm preaching, I'm reading the comments, but I'm not engaged. Like, I'm not going to respond in the middle of a sermon usually. I do sometimes. But at the end, at least, like, at least give me 20 minutes to talk with y'all or, like, look at the comments or at least just look at them. I go in people's lives all the time and I'm commenting and they just never see the comments because they don't look at the comments. I'm like, why are you live? Why are you live if you're not going to ever even look at the comments? I don't understand. That's me personally. I could be wrong. Oh, right after I got saved when I came to Glad Tidings. Sean, that is so long ago. That's amazing. Glad Tidings is awesome. I went there for many, many years. Yeah, it's like, bro, I'm commenting. Talk to me. Have I met Vlad's son? Yes, I have. He's so cute. He's awesome. Yes, in just a couple minutes, we're going to be going to Jared and Candace's stream. Let me open their stream, and I'll link it for you guys as well. They're going to be having worship and prayer. I'll type it in the comments for the five of you that are on Facebook. Going here in 2 minutes. There you go. There's the link for my five people on Facebook. If you're on YouTube and you have autoplay on, you toggle autoplay, it'll take you there. Just stay on, right? So when I end the stream and I disappear, just stay on. It'll take you there. Don't get off or click the link I just gave you. But yeah. Are you doing another book? We'll see. We'll see if I do another book. I don't know, guys. I don't know. You're anointed to read and talk at the same time? I can never. You're right. It is the anointing. It's not me. I'm not gifted like that. It's the Lord. You're good at keeping the comments. Thank you, Kristen. Spiritual warfare instructor, my church recommended you. That's awesome, Julie. It feels good to know my comments are answered. Like, you see me. I see you, Alyssa. Yes. Or they get upset when the chat asks questions. Yeah, Esther, it's like, why do we have a chat then if I can't ask questions? They see comments but ignore them. Yeah. I get it, though, right? It's like, if you're teaching, I understand. If you're doing your sermon stuff, but it's like, at least after, give me like 10 minutes. I get it. I was on Sid Roth. I don't remember when. 2022? I don't know. 23? I just joined. I see a pigeon on the left. Oh, yeah, that's Carl. It's a friendly bird. Have I been playing pickleball lately? Yes, I played today. It's supposed to rain for like the next 10 days. Tomorrow's like the last day of sunshine, so I'm trying to just like, you know, play before the rain comes. I just probably taking a year off from writing again. Well, listen, I took 15 years off. So it took me like 14 years to finally write a book. So I don't know. Loving this. It's my favorite. I learned so much. Thank you, Terry. You guys are encouraging. Thank you. So good. Yes, it is good to read the chat. Yes. Have I done any pickleball videos? Well, we have a couples pickleball video from a long time ago. But no, I'm not really making pickleball content. But I will post a video soon if you guys want to see one. I'm not going to. I will. I don't have no problem with that. Do you still have the Deliverance map? Yes, deliverancemap.com or isaiahsaddle.com/deliverance. I will never leave my family of you all. Amen. Jared and Candace are amazing addition to the stream. Keep the partnership. Yeah, they're good friends of ours. Very good friends of ours. We were actually just at their house the other day. And God has blessed us with their friendship. Thank you, Sis Emily. Maybe Isaiah will see it and respond. I'm seeing everything, but I don't know what did Emily say. Maybe it didn't show up on my thing. Usually all the comments come through, but sometimes there's a lot and it's hard to see. But maybe Emily could post it again so I'll see it. The toggle for autoplay should be right on your screen. It's like a little switch with like a play sign and you can click it on or off, depending on what your device is. Learned so much. I was in the New Age Tarot Card Crystals. I'm glad, Jess, that you're here. Thank you, Yelena. Appreciate you. I want to see y'all play pickleball. Okay, I'll post something. All right, y'all. Oh, I try not to yawn on stream, but it happens sometimes. We are going there in a minute. We are going there in a minute. That's awesome, Angie. Thank you. Thank you, Shawnee. Rain is like California snow. I could put some rain on. You want to see the rain? Hold on. Where's it at? There we go. It's raining now. My stream is raining. Let's put the bird away, though. He doesn't like the rain. You just call my ping pong? Come on, bro. It's pickleball. It's not ping pong. Oh, some clouds? Hold on. We need some rain clouds. There's the rain clouds. All right, guys. Jared and Candace are live now. We are going there. Turn your autoplay on. We're going to Jared and Candace's stream. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. We'll see you guys in the next broadcast, which is tomorrow at 2 p.m. Love y'all. See you tomorrow and then tomorrow night.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @IsaiahSaldivar. See you next week.